Let's get down to business.
Business.
My business.
Taking care of business.
No funny business, no conversation.
And now, back to America's business coach, Coach Ron Tunick.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank. I'm sitting in for Coach Ron Tunick, who's over in Las Vegas giving a speech to hundreds of people who wanted to pay for his wisdom to understand more about salesmanship and coaching. I'm joined in the studio, as we are every Wednesday, by Ken Henjum. Hey, Ken, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Ken, I need your help, and I need the listeners' help, too. I've got a poll up on my website, brainstormingonline.com, and I ask a real simple multiple-choice question. Is traffic in Ventura getting better or worse compared to last year? Now, here's the problem. Right now, the poll is deadlocked, 50-50. Half of the people say the traffic is better. Half of the people say the traffic is worse. We need to break the deadlock. So go to my website, brainstormingonline.com, cast your vote. You'll see the poll on the right-hand side of the page. When you cast your vote, you'll see the results immediately of where the poll stands at that moment. I'll announce the overall results of the poll a little bit later in the week. You'll find the poll up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. That's brainstorming, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com. Our next guest is Jeffrey Davis. He is the CEO and founder of Magi LLC, one of New England's leading management consulting firms. He's also an adjunct lecturer of entrepreneurship at Olin Graduate School of Business at Babson College, and he co-hosts the daily business radio show, Mind Your Own Business. He's nationally and internationally sought-after speaker because of his invaluable expertise and his track record positioning organizations for rapid growth, change, and market financial success. He sits on the boards of several private and nonprofit organizations. Before founding Magi, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Jeffrey, he established his... What's that?
You're not even close.
Not even close. And he established his reputation as an expert working for all sorts of well-known international organizations. So how badly did I miss it?
Well, you know, I got to give a little credit because my original partner when I started the business about 27 years ago, was a professional Scrabble player on the side. He used to play on the Scrabble circuit, and he took the name one of the Scrabble dictionaries, because professional Scrabble players memorize dictionaries, and he took the name Mage, which comes from the Magi, and the Magi were advisors to kings and queens so that they could run their kingdoms more effectively. And his desire in our consulting firm when we started it was to really, you know, since there really weren't kings and queens, but there were entrepreneurs who ran, you know, economic kingdoms, was to give them objective and sound advice so that they could develop their kingdoms as well. Or if you really look at it in terms of the noun is that our business is to really make our clients smarter, and smartness leads to wisdom. It's the next stage in the continuum. So it's Mage.
All right. So
I don't always get that much of an opportunity to explain the name, but I like to give credit where credit is due.
Well, that's a great little story, Jeffrey. It actually leads me into talking about your book, which is titled The 24-Hour Turnaround, How Amazing Entrepreneurs Succeed in Tough Times. And I'm sure that the title has a story behind it as well. How'd you come up with the title, The 24-Hour Turnaround?
Well, I don't know if it's such a wonderful story or not. But, you know, we were back to appeal with Americans' desire for quick fixes. And, you know, everybody wants a quick fix, and they don't really have a lot of time, and everybody's rushing, and especially entrepreneurs don't have a lot of time. And what we wanted to show was not that your business would be fixed or would be exactly the way you wanted it within 24 hours, but it's sort of like the Wizard of Oz. You know, you click your heels, and, you know, if you're on the yellow brick road, and what we're saying is that the path to success is not magic, and the people in our book all took the same path to get to success. And we're saying, if you get on the right path, you will be, and you can do that within 24 hours, you will be headed in the right direction to achieving your objectives.
All right. That makes a lot of sense. Our guest is Jeffrey Davis. So, Jeffrey, here's some statistics that I find interesting. According to the Small Business Administration's Office of Advocacy, small businesses, and that means firms with fewer than 500 employees, provide jobs for more than half of the nation's private workforce. So what attracts entrepreneurs to start up their own business based on your years of consulting with businesses?
Well, entrepreneurs are unique. And, you know, I've only been with entrepreneurs my whole life. And it's a particular breed of people that they might be different, but they're my kind of people. My father was an entrepreneur. My grandfather was an entrepreneur. My family's probably been entrepreneurs since the Spanish Inquisition. So I don't know if I really had much choice or free will in this whole thing. But entrepreneurs have a certain, I think they're really the basis of what makes America wonderful. It's the desire for independence, to do something unique, to do something very personal, to really create their own pathway to their own path to greatness. And I think the result of entrepreneurs has been an economic reality in America that is unmatched in the history of the world. And it really, you know, if you look at all the corporations of America, they started from nothing. And So entrepreneurs are very—they're very unique people. They're the way they think, the way they work, their willingness to take risk, willingness to deal with mistakes, and learn from their mistakes. At least the good entrepreneurs—it makes them a truly—they make them truly unique people.
Well, that it does, Jeffrey. But and it's an interesting point that 16 of the Dow 30 stocks were companies that were started during a recession or during a depression. But I have to ask the bigger question, why are so many of these entrepreneurs really ill-prepared as business leaders for challenging economic times like we're facing right now?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to pick on them and say the majority of them. But, you know, you sort of look at it like your own children. And I think, you know, if you're born to be an entrepreneur, that doesn't mean that you're born with all the skills already. And so what really talented entrepreneurs find is that, you know, life is a continuous learning process. And good entrepreneurs get themselves into a developmental process through the work and through the challenges of the work and through how they construct their whole lives. And so, you know, entrepreneurs need to learn, and they need to learn faster than the problems that they have, you know, that face them. So I just think that, you know, some entrepreneurs learn as they go. I know when I started my business, I probably didn't have a tenth of the skills that I have today. But I wanted to be an entrepreneur, and I wanted to start a business. And subsequently, I've probably started over 10 businesses in my career. And, I'm not saying it gets easier over time, but definitely my skills. I have a lot more skills and a lot more experience, and I know what I'm facing right now.
Well, it's interesting. You've distilled your skills into what you call the 24-hour turnaround principles. And let me just go through them quickly because there are a couple of them that I want to talk about in depth. The first one is vision and strategic plan that reflects the leader's personality, personal and family history, ambitions, goals and dreams, industry and economic reality, guiding principles that are code of conduct, relentless communication, financial planning, raising the bar, and the list goes on and on. But I want to start with number one, with the vision and the strategic plan. I think it's interesting that you've brought in the leader's personality and their family history. Why is that important?
In terms of a strategic plan, I don't think you can separate an entrepreneur's basic personal DNA from the strategy of the business. I think that they really sort of go together. And I think, you know, when you build a good organization, their personal DNA and how they are and their value system, if you really build a great organization, it connects with the value systems of the people who come together to really help you accomplish that they see it as their own personal objectives as well. So I just think that, you know, a business is not an impersonal thing. A business is a very personal thing if it's managed properly. And all the people in my book were out to do something that was special, not just because they developed, let's say, a new mousetrap, but because it really it related to their deep sense of values about the world and the world around them. And that's partially what made them so wonderful.
And that does set them apart. And I love the way in your book you highlight these entrepreneurs and you give them a grading system. I guess that goes back to your being an adjunct professor at Babson College. But looking at that, I agree with what you have to say. When you look at a company like Apple Computer, which is now the number one company in terms of market capitalization in the world, clearly Apple reflected Steve Jobs. However, Steve Jobs, as almost everybody would agree, is very unique in that regard. Most entrepreneurs don't bring their company to reflect their personality the way that Steve Jobs did with Apple Computer. You've looked at these entrepreneurs. As you look at 100 entrepreneurs, how many out of 100 really bring their personal value, their personal vision, their mission statement to the business in such an overt way?
Well, you know, I don't want to pick on entrepreneurs. I have a very close friend who's a very skilled physician, and he's run many emergency rooms across country. And when I had a procedure a few years ago, he said to me, "Don't forget when you're looking at surgeons in Boston," he goes, 50% of the doctors who graduate Harvard Medical School graduate at the bottom of the class. So let's not just pick on entrepreneurs. You know, everything has its, you know, life has its bell curve. You know, there are the top performers in every profession, And I think, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs don't have the skills to take the business where they want to go. I think most of us don't. And we need to surround ourselves with the right people, and we need to develop the skills in ourselves as well. We cannot develop others, and we cannot develop our organizations unless we're willing to develop ourselves first. You can't have a great team unless you have great individuals, but you can have a great team if you do have great individuals. You have to develop both sides. And great entrepreneurs do that, and very few can really do it at that level. But I've met a lot out of the hundreds of people I've worked with. I've met some very special people. They may not be Steve Jobs, but in their way, they're just as wonderful, and they've changed people's lives. And you know, if you can change, you know, 1,000 people's lives, it can be just as wonderful and rewarding as changing 10,000 people's lives. It's a wonderful thing, and the people in my book, they've all affected people, and they've all made the world a better place in their own way.
Well said. Our guest is Jeffrey Davis, author of the book, The 24-Hour Turnaround, How Amazing Entrepreneurs Succeed in Tough Times. And a recurring theme throughout your book, Jeffrey, is this whole theme of communication, what you call relentless communication. Communicate, communicate. You cannot over-communicate. Talk to me why that's so important in any organization that you're in. Why is communication the cornerstone?
Because you don't work alone. You're not sitting alone in a vacuum. It's people. And people bring so many different cultures and perceptions to the world, and their own emotional makeup and background to things. And unless you're communicating and can communicate in a good fashion, then everybody's misinterpreting the way things are, and they're interpreting them different. The rules, the objectives, the outcomes, their own successes, what's good, what's bad. And without communication, people cannot be on the same page. So great leaders are great communicators.
Well, okay. Now, one of the other principles, Jeffrey, that you talk about is implement and use technology for monitoring, management, finance, and growth. And here's my question for you. You said it at the outset. Entrepreneurs, in fact, every one of us, is pressed for time in this world. We're hectic. We're being pulled in 1,000 different directions. Technology, generally speaking, is not everybody's strong suit. So how do you find the time to implement and use new technology to make your business better when you yourself might not be a technologist?
Well, you know, I don't consider myself a technologist, but I also don't consider myself a gourmet chef, but I know where to go to get a good meal. So I do my research, you know. And it's the same thing with technology. I do my due diligence. I ask smart people the right questions. I do my background homework. I do my reference checks. And then I make my decisions based upon what my budgets are, my goals are. And it's all about, you know, gathering data. No one can be an expert at everything, but you can be good at picking things. And, you know, also people make mistakes at picking things, but you have to do your homework. And, you know, you can't be in business today and be successful and not utilize technology. Technology touches us every minute of our lives when we're not sleeping. And it's a very complicated world that we live in with technology, and people need to understand how to optimize. And, you know, you just look at social marketing, and it's changed the way the world communicates and does business and gains business. And entrepreneurs, the way I look at it with social marketing is that's a 9-inning game, and we're only in the second inning. And even the smartest of us understand it at a certain level, that no one really understands where this is going ultimately. So, you got to get on that curve, because that curve is a reality. And so you got to do that by studying and reading and talking and learning.
Well, I was looking at your book near the back, and apparently you have put in principles for organizational success, and you kind of have a scorecard based upon 10 different questions. So you can, because that was the curiosity is, you know, when does someone seek a consultant like yourself to come into the business? What are the warning signs they're looking for? And it looks like your score sheet might give a chance to identify that. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, but I don't think that, you know, anybody has to bring in a consultant based on a negative. There's a lot of successful companies, you know, who do bring consultants into. I guess the natural tendency is a lot of us don't call our professional advisors unless we have a problem. And I think that's problematic in itself, too, because that means you're looking for a quick fix and you're just looking to get out of the problem. Now, let's look at it more deeply. Why did we get into the problem in the first place? Or even before then, if we have an instead of looking backwards on the problem and looking more situational, let's look ahead. Let's look ahead and say, where do we want to go, and what's the best path to get there, and can we get there more efficiently, faster, and with less stress? And I think a lot of people nowadays, not the majority, look at it from where we're going, where we need to go, and they don't look at it from a problematic perspective. Yes, some consultants are brought in and advisors from a problem perspective, but some are not. Some are brought in because they're saying, we need to get to this goal, and we need to get there better and more efficient, and we have to make sure we minimize the risks.
Our guest is Jeffrey Davis, author of the book, The 24-Hour Turnaround, How Amazing Entrepreneurs Succeed in Tough Times. Jeffrey, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, The 24-Hour Turnaround?
Well, that they can do it too. It's really that simple. The book was intentionally written so that it wasn't heavily for the author. It was written to be an easily accessible book that you could do in virtually no time. There's stories between 8 to 10 pages in the words of the entrepreneur, not in my words, where they tell certain aspects of their life and there's sort of what sticks out about them. And we want them to read it and go, wow, you know, I have the same problems, or I could do what this guy did. And, you know, they were able to do it. And also, while you're reading their stories, if you read them carefully, you're picking up good tips all the time. There are tips in every story about each one does. And, you know, one of my favorites is Jerry Hyman. And Jerry, as an example, when he's doing acquisitions, he goes into the company's CEO's office, and he asks them to play their voicemail to him, because he figures people only keep their most personal voicemails, and it's his way of really getting to know the person, not what they're trying to let him get to know. So the book is filled with sort of personal stories about how certain leaders do things and their little tricks to success. But I just want people to know, everybody can do this, and everybody can reach the same goals.
That is great. Jeffrey, you've probably piqued the interest of some of our listeners out there. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, you know, it's really quite simple, and I'm not the only author. I have a co-author, Mark Cohn, but I'm easy to find. You go The 24-Hour Turnaround by Jeffrey Davis. You can also do Mark Cohn, but it's by Jeffrey Davis, and you can find me at... you know, the email address is also very similar. It's a pretty easy email. J. Davis, the letter J, at 24-hourturnaround.com.
24-hour.
Sorry.
That is great, Jeffrey. Thank you so much for being our guest here on The Business of Life. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you very much, guys. Good luck.